Hello and welcome to Connectivity 239. I'm your host Nicholas Bray, and today I'm joined by Matt West.
Hello everybody.
And a new NWR staffer, or relatively new NWR staffer, Xander Morningstar. Is that right? Yeah, Morningstar.
That's right. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So today we're going to be talking a bit about ukulele for the Switch and just like the game in general. We kind of held off talking about ukulele until like it actually came out on the Switch. So this is us, you know, finally getting to talk a bit about it. But first, I thought you would just start off with whatever we've been playing recently or been up to recently. So Xander, what else have you been doing besides playing a bit of ukulele?
I've definitely been hitting up ARMS quite a bit. They just updated it with the 5.0 patch. And I had actually been playing it quite a bit before that because I had I'd finished up playing L.A. Noire and I wanted to do something in between another big game. So I went ahead and picked up ARMS and had a lot of fun playing it. And then right when I was going to drop it, they updated it with a new character and a new stage and a bunch of new weapons. So I'm still playing that right now, and it's been very fun. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I played the test punch before the game came out, and I liked it. But I haven't actually picked it up or anything. But I think I read today that they're not making any more content. Like that's it. Like the most recent update, that's the end of the content they're bringing out for it. So
yeah, I saw that about an hour ago, and I was I didn't know if that was real or not, but if it is, it's a bit of a bummer. But they definitely added a lot more than what that game started off with. So
yeah,
that's cool. But yeah, it's a lot quicker of a drop-off than I thought it would be. And I don't know if that was because of that was in their plan or if that's just because ARMS is a little more niche than Splatoon is. So
yeah, it didn't seem to take off quite like Splatoon did.
Right.
I mean, I might still get it eventually. It's looks pretty good. So.
Yeah, I got it. I got it at launch. I got it at launch, and I played it, I think, until, like, Max Brass came out. And I enjoyed it. There just wasn't really enough to really keep me around.
They have added 4 new characters now since Max Brass. Lola Pop, which is that clown girl, a guy named Miss Sango, I think is how you pronounce his name. I've never really been certain of that, but he's like this Aztec like warrior with a spirit that kind of follows him around, and it almost acts like Shulk's blade from Smash. It'll kind of change depending on what color it is, and that'll give him a different boost. Then there's also the one that they just added, Dr. Coil, which is, I guess, I don't know if she's a villain or what, but she's been the deep aspect of the ARMS lore. She's the one that created, like, the headlock and Helix, and she's, like, this mad scientist. And so they went into depth on talking about, like, why all these things exist because of her, and that was really silly. And then also there's I don't want to call him a dark version of Springman, but it's like a robot called Springtron, and he's fairly similar, except he can actually, send out a shockwave that can cancel all of your attacks, leaving you open. So it's very cool how much the meta has changed. And they've also added like a Splatfest like element. I forget what it's called, but there's a period of time where you pick between 2 fighters. I think right now it's, Mummy, the Master Mummy, and Twintel, and you just pick your side and go at it, and you can earn different badges and stuff to decorate your profile, and it's got its own achievement system now using those badges, so it's definitely added a lot to it. But I can understand why people just didn't stick around, because the core gameplay did not change that
much. Well, I'll have to jump back in for a little bit and see if it's added enough to keep me around longer. I really wanted, like, the hinting that they've done with, like, Dr. Coil about how she, like, created Helix and Headlock and all that stuff. That's, like, really cool, but, like, that just makes me want a story mode to this game even more.
Yeah, I agree.
And that we didn't get one is super disappointing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely, like, feel like I'm creating my own narrative in my head every time I play the game, because there really isn't one outside of, like, the character explanations.
Cool characters, though.
Yeah, and especially with the artwork, they've changed their title screen every time a new character is added, and, like, right now it's this very terrifying close-up of Dr. Coyle, and then, like, there's, like, a smaller version of Max Brass punching the word arms in the logo. And it almost looks like it's a Disney poster or something. Like, oh, what could this story be? And it's not. It's just these guys are fighting because they've got long arms.
It's interesting. I would have been interested to see how they would have incorporated Little Mac, because that was like a thing they toyed with apparently at some stage. So is that sort of it for you? What you've been up to?
Outside of Yooka-Laylee, I mean, I've also been playing SteamWorld Dig 2. I bought that when it first came out, played it for a little bit and liked it, and then I just, you know, I don't know if I just got busy, if it was college or if it was other games coming out. I think that might have been the first week of where like 18 games just popped out in the eShop. And I just got
too many games.
Yeah, so I think I just dropped that one, and everyone's been saying that's like their indie game of the year for the Switch. So I was like, all right, I definitely have to play this again before the year's over. So I've been playing that as well, and it's very fun. There are moments where I really do like it. I like the progression, finding secrets and collecting things and upgrading my character. And the other times where I'm just, all right, this is a platformer. I'm not always the biggest platforming fan when it comes to 2D games, and it's not an 8-bit thing. So sometimes I think my old school mentality kind of sweeps over, and I have to set it aside until I can let that pass almost. But I really like it. It's very addicting and very fun, and it scratches that itch that I get with a lot of collecting games. So it's a good time.
I did the review for that for Nintendo World Report.
Oh, really?
Loved it.
It's fun.
Yeah. I gave it a 9.5, I think.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, I was a huge fan of the original game, and this one is like everything from the original game just turned up to 11. So
okay, this is my first in the series, so it's interesting to kind of hear about the other character that you're looking for, who I guess was the star of the first one. So this is neat.
Yeah, yeah. They're also, Image Informer is getting ready to put out, I think right after Christmas, SteamWorld Heist on Switch. It's a completely different kind of game. It's like a turn-based strategy. That's a 2D side scroller.
Okay.
But I really like that one too. I had it on a 3DS.
Is that the one with Lincoln?
A few years ago.
Is that the one with
who?
With Robot Lincoln or whatever? Is that that game? I'm thinking of that. Or my codename Steam. Is that,
it's not ringing a bell.
I'm thinking of codename Steam.
Yeah, that's codename Steam.
Yeah, that's codename Steam. I was going to say, I don't know any Lincoln. Oh, you're talking about Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's codenamed Steam, which I actually kind of enjoyed.
Okay.
Not a perfect game, but once the patch came out that sped things up, the game was a lot more enjoyable. I just think people were so burnt out on it before that patch came out that... but yeah, I mean, it's not a perfect game or anything, but I think you can get it for like $4 now. I think it's worth
it's
$4.
It's so cheap. Yeah, it's so cheap. I think I've seen it for like $6 here.
Wow.
And I bought it for 10, and I thought that was cheap, so.
Yeah, and you get to play as, like, Tom Sawyer and, like, Sacagawea or something like that. I mean, I don't know, it's a weird game, but I had fun with it.
Is that a Nintendo published game, or who made that?
That was Intelligent Systems, the people that do Fire Emblem.
Very cool, very cool. I'll have to give that one a look before the 3DS is lost to the sands of time.
Yeah, well, I think 3DS is going to go into 2018.
Right, right.
Yeah, I think there's probably a couple more, maybe even a couple more Nintendo games that we'll see next year for it.
Right. Definitely hoping so.
Plus, Pokemon Crystal is coming out in January or February now.
Yeah,
too,
so that's my favorite. It's my favorite Pokemon game.
I haven't actually played Crystal, so I was going to replay Gold or Silver at some point, but I'm going to maybe hold out for that now. So
very cool.
Yeah,
Gold and Silver was my Pokemon game way back in the day. I was kind of bummed that it wasn't there when Red and Blue were coming to the eShop, but now that it is here, and I think Crystal, you said Crystal's coming out, I kind of want to give that a shot, but again, so many games right now. So.
I mean, yeah, it's basically Gold and Silver, just with some improvements.
Right, but, right.
Yeah.
I think there's a better Pokemon locations in Crystal.
Hmm.
There's quite a bit more variety. Especially in the early game.
And I think they're going to let you catch Celebi, which is really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're like replicating the events they used to do back in the day. That's really cool.
Yeah, I think I read after you beat the Elite Four or something, you get some item.
Wow.
And it'll let you get the GS Ball properly. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the GS Ball.
Are they giving you the GS Ball?
Sweet. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, could you imagine?
That was such a... I remember how... Go ahead.
I was going to say, could you imagine like being a developer that's like much younger, who maybe even played the game, and then getting to work on that game like 20 years later?
Modding it slightly.
Yeah, just to put a GS Ball in it, being like, yeah, I'm creating something for someone else now. I think that's awesome.
The GS Ball is my favorite. Did you watch the anime, Nick?
Yeah, I was about to say... The GS Ball never got a damn payoff in the anime.
Yeah. I hope that Ash gave it to, like, Professor Oak or whatever, or it was the professor in the Orange Islands or somebody? I don't know. He gave it to somebody, and then they never talked about it again.
Oh, yeah, let me study this ball, and we just never see it again.
Yeah, I hope, I was always hoping that, like, one day, like, 10 years later, they would just suddenly bring the GS Ball back up.
I think they should.
People would be like, you know, like, kids watching the anime now, they're just like, what the heck is a GS Ball?
I wouldn't even know.
They should just make, like, a movie about it.
Pokemon GS. The Gold and Silver? I don't know. You tell us. When I was a kid, the anime was in the Hoenn region. That was kind of where the games were at when I, was playing them, but I was a generation behind when I was playing them. I played the Gold and Silver games while Hoenn was kind of the popular thing. I never actually played Ruby or Gold.
That's what the plot of the Switch Pokemon game needs to be about, the GS Ball.
Also, Arceus. I kind of always wanted an Arceus story, but that never really happened. Oh well.
Yeah, he's just the god of the Pokemon.
Yeah, what if you expect Celebi to come out of the GS Ball, but it's actually Arceus, and then all of a sudden, when Arceus is released, there's a game where it's like the perfect Pokemon game that everyone wants. This is released Arceus. I don't know where I'm taking this.
Pokemon Rainbow.
I've actually been watching the Hoenn region anime for a while. I've been trying to get through it for like 3 years now.
Oh, really?
I've watched it in spurts. Yeah, I'm getting close to the end.
I remember really liking it as a kid, but looking back, I think there were a lot of episodes that were just too different from what the originals were. Like, I remember one is, I think Ash loses his badge, his box of badges to a big blue fish guy. What was his name? Is it Wishcash, I think his name was. And like,
oh yeah, oh, there was an episode recently, I think.
Yeah, or there was like this Spoink that kept losing its pearl, and I was just like, every time that character came on, I'm like, for goodness sake, just glue it to your head, because I want to see them fight.
Yeah, that Spoink was running around just getting any round thing and sticking it on its head. Yeah, it was like, that was only in one episode, but
really, yeah. I have not left an impression. Yeah, it did leave an impression. Enough for me to talk about it all these years later, but I don't actually watch it that much. So.
All right, so Matt, what have you been up to recently?
Well, I just finished the review for Yooka-Laylee last weekend.
That's right,
on Switch. But before we talk about Yooka-Laylee, I want to talk about this really tiny game called Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's this weird indie game. it's a huge game, but this morning I was playing and I just made it to the final boss. So I haven't beat him yet, So I don't know the ending or anything, but I've made it to the last guy.
That's good.
So I'm pretty deep in. I haven't done a whole lot of side story stuff, or side quests or anything. So I'm only like 65 hours in. I know a lot of people said it was taking them like 90 or 100 hours to beat the story. But I've mostly just crit passed it just because I just don't have time.
At least you're going to see the end of it. I mean, I'd probably just stop like halfway through or something and never see the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's always the danger for me and these giant JRPGs, just because, especially in a year like 2017, where there's just great game after great game coming out, it's got to be really special or like a really high quality short experience, to really hold my attention, because there's just so much good stuff that came out this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it. It's a good game.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like it more than the original. Mm. I think I like the original one a little bit more on Wii.
Okay. But. Is it? I'm pretty sure it's not, but like, it's not really connected story-wise at all, is it, to the first game?
No, like, it does the Final Fantasy thing where there's some similar elements. Like, you know, you're on the backs of these giant creatures for most of the game, and that makes up the world that you're in. The Nopon are still in it. And then, like, the battle system is, like, a slightly more tweaked and complicated version of the one that's in the series.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this one holds my attention more than it did in X.
Hmm.
It's kind of more combo based. And there's a lot of setup that goes into, like, if you really want to deal a lot of damage, and end fights quickly, there's a lot of, setup going on and positioning and stuff. So, you're constantly doing anything. There's not a whole lot of waiting around for things to happen, like maybe in like the active time battle system.
Mm-hmm.
You've got something to do all the time. I just don't know if I don't know if the story's as strong as the first game.
Yeah.
I have not played.
And there's no rhyme time. There's no rhyme time. Nobody says anything cool like rhyme time. So.
I don't know if that's cool, but yeah.
it made me laugh every time, so. Well, never mind. The main character every now and then will say something to the effect of, like, "We'll defeat you with the power of friendship," and I feel like I'm playing a Yu-Gi-Oh! Game.
Mm. Yeah, but as for me, I haven't played too much. I've dabbled with the Zelda DLC. I don't know if you guys have touched that yet.
Yeah.
I have finished it, actually.
Oh. I'm still doing the first...
Cool.
I'm still doing, like, the first area, the Great Plateau area. I've got one...
How do you guys feel about that?
Because at first I was kind of annoyed by it, like, initially, because I died a few times straight away trying to had to restart and stuff, but... It clicked after, like, I've died a few times, and I just took it slowly and just started using, like, arrows and stuff from a distance to sort of take things out, and it wasn't too bad after that. I mean, I got back into it and enjoyed it. I haven't not too far. I mean, I've got one more shrine to do on the Great Plateau, so I'm still in that sort of area doing that stuff, but I don't mind it.
Yeah, I don't think it was bad at all. If I had to compare it to the rest of the DLC that's in the Champions Ballad, I would call it the worst part of it. But again, I don't think it's bad. It was an interesting thing to come back to after having not played the game for a while. It was quite a challenge, but I enjoyed it. I definitely died a lot more than I expected I would. And like Nick, I relied on my arrows quite a bit to get that part done.
Yeah, when I first started it, it actually took me a little bit to remember how to play the game. Like, what the jump button, or like, even like how to, like, draw my arrows and, like, hold them and fire them the proper way again. But once I got reused to the controls, and after I died several times trying to figure them out, there's this one spot on the Great Plateau where, like, there's this hill, and you kind of overlook this little foresty area, and, there's like, a bunch of these, enemies on horseback, and I was like, oh, man, like, because the first time I approached it, I was just on foot running toward that foresty area, and like, these, you know, they all came up and rushed me, and I died really quickly. So I was like, oh man, like, this sucks. Like, I really don't like this DLC. But I found this, like, little hill place that I could go up, and I had, like, 50 bomb arrows on me for some reason. And so I just, like, made it rain bomb arrows on these horseback things. And so, like, I don't know, it was like a fireworks show that I was watching on the hilltop where I was just setting off these fireworks and watching things explode. And I don't know, it made me feel like a badass, so. Then I started having fun. And the shrines in this one are really good. They're like some of the best shrines
in the game. Yeah, I was about to say, I've really, so far, like the first three shrines I've done in the DLC, really liked the design of them and what you, like, the puzzles and stuff is really cool. I was initially disappointed with one of them. It was like, oh, it's a test of strength. And I was like, oh, really? Is it a test of strength? But then it kind of fakes you out and there's like more of the dungeon after that, which is really cool.
Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, I'll just kill this guy with one hit anyway, so. Because you have that obliterator thing with you, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot I had that, so when I went in and I saw that it was a test of strength, I was like, oh, classic Nintendo doing something that, alright. And then I went in and just nailed it, and I was like, wait, was it really that easy? And then they opened it up into a whole other thing, and it got a little challenging.
Yeah.
I also forgot that I had the one-hit kill weapon, and so I used ancient arrows and actually defeated it the normal way. And afterward, I think my wife was watching me play, and she was like, "Why didn't you just use the weapon thing?" I felt like
it. Yeah, but that was a silly
moment. Do you know the one where? One of the shrines, those first shrines, you got to, like, scoop up the balls that are falling around and stuff. You guys remember that one? Like,
yes, I do.
Yeah, I was so stupid. I was bringing the chest back across in the little cup.
I did, exactly.
And I dropped it just in front of me, but it bounced and hit me and it killed me.
Oh.
I was like, what?
I think my silliest moment was actually, I don't know if you guys can relate to this, since Matt, did you beat the DLC, or have you gotten to, like, the Divine Beast portion of it?
I have finished Mipha's Divine Beast. Oh,
okay, alright.
But I still have three more of the Blight things to knock out.
Okay.
And then the final dungeon, so all I'm right. not, I mean, like I said, I've been playing Xenoblade, which has taken up a lot of time, but once that's finished, I'm going to go back to the DLC.
Well, then neither of you will pick this up, but there was a moment in the dungeon where I did something really silly, and you'll probably know it when you see it. There's, like, this area where you have to get a ball from point A to point B, and there's, like, it's kind of like the floor is lava, and there's like a spinning cylinder covered in spikes, and you have to kind of walk on it while it's spinning, almost like a Mario Galaxy thing, and just not fall in the lava and not hit the spikes. But you have to be careful. Well, I picked up the ball and brought it back going the opposite direction, and it turns out you can just drop it down a ramp right next to you. That way you don't have to worry about the ball. But I'd made it 10 times harder than it needed to be. So enjoy that when you come across it.
Well, you still did it.
So. How do you feel about
I did.
did you like the Divine Beast, the new one?
I did. I walked in, and they kind of built it up, and I was like, all right, here's the new dungeon. After having beat it, took me a while to beat it, and I'm not great at puzzles, but it took me about an hour or two to get through the whole thing. Because sometimes there are moments where I was like, I think this is the solution, and I was correct, but the actual, like, initiation of it was not working. Like, one of the things is you have to push a button, you have to use your ice block, and I'm like, well, it makes sense because there's a button right there and I can't reach it. None of my weapons can reach it, but there's a waterfall. So of course I'd have to use the water to hit the button, but I'm not able to, but it's not letting me. It just, the blinking icon says, no, you can't use water here. And so I just stand in a particular section of the room that wasn't very obvious to be able to use it. And so really little silly things like that happen, but all in all, I thought it was really cool. It definitely not what a lot of people criticized, where it was too short. I thought for me, it felt like the right length, and the ending payoff is very neat. I'm not going to say anything about that, but cool. I think that, like what we said earlier, I think the one hit obliterator portion is probably the weakest. Still enjoyable, but I think from there on, it just gets better and better, and the dungeon is great, and then there's another challenge afterwards that kind of blew my mind a little bit. So definitely keep playing. It's enjoyable. I recommend it.
Yeah, and other than Zelda...
Let's talk about ukulele.
I was just going to quickly mention, because I think on the last episode... Was the last episode? We were talking about Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon at some point. Yeah. I ended up picking up Ultra Moon, and I've played, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours of it. And, yeah, it sure is... Stay on the critical path at all times. You must not leave the path so far. I just don't understand. Like, the character is like, oh, yeah, meet me at the professor's lab. And I was like, okay, I'll do that in a sec. I'm just going to go up this path and to see what's there. Oh, no, hey, come over here. You got to go this way. I don't really understand. I don't really understand why the characters themselves force you to follow them, where... Even if there was nothing at the end of that path for me to do, why not just let me walk up there and walk back? I mean, it just feels very constricting. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, I really like the look of the game, and it does feel a lot more like walking around in the anime to a degree, which is cool. But yeah, I haven't really played too much, but that's sort of my first initial thoughts. But yeah. So yeah, we'll jump over to Ukulele now and talk about that game. So Matt, what do you think about it? Had you played it before the Switch version?
Yeah, so I actually platinumed the PlayStation 4 version.
Right.
I collected everything in the game and beat it, and I think it's okay. I don't think it's bad.
Mm.
But it definitely didn't live up to, the older Rare platformers, like the Banjo-Kazooies, the Conker's Bad Fur Day, Donkey Kong 64. I felt like a lot of that was the level design. I just didn't really connect with those levels, and they just didn't feel as coherent or as, inspired as, especially the first Banjo-Kazooie. I really feel like that game nails the level design. Each level has a really cool theme, and each one feels special. And I just didn't feel that way playing through the 5 levels of Ukulele. And when you only have 5 levels in a game, I feel like you need to really nail at least most of them.
Yeah.
And I feel like really, really the only one that I really kind of liked was the first world.
Mm.
Really? Oh boy. I'm on the second world, and I didn't really like the first one, so that's not great to hear.
even the first world. I thought the last world was okay, the space one.
Okay.
So that one had some unique challenges in it. But yeah, I really did not like the fourth one, the casino.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that one at all. The other ones were just kind of okay, like, which is how I feel about most of the game. It's nothing special, but I mean, it did, like, you know, it came out on PS4 before Mario Odyssey and Hat in Time and other 3D platformers had come out, that were better this year. So it kind of scratched that itch for me. But it didn't really do anything innovative or special, and it didn't really live up to the nostalgia factor either.
Yeah, it's like, in some respects, it's very similar to Banjo-Kazooie, and some others it sort of, like, mm-hmm. feels different. Like you're saying, like, the levels, the layouts of the levels feel a bit, I don't know exactly, like, they're, like, functionally and structurally, they're not that different to, like, the levels in Banjo-Kazooie. Just, it seems like they're just laid out more poorly. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to really nail down exactly why. I don't know if it's just because there's, like, in Banjo-Kazooie, there was a lot of the levels had, like, a singular focal point for the level. These mm-hmm. ones have, like, just sort of spread out, sort of more like, they're sort of more like Mario Odyssey levels in a way, in terms of it's just like a wide open sort of rectangular sort of landmass, and there's stuff in it to find. Yeah, I don't know, but I like the game, and especially when it came out on PS4, I really got into the game until I hit the casino level where I encountered that token glitch and it stopped my totals from finishing that level, and I got kind of sick of the casino level and I just sort of stopped playing it. I played a little bit of the space one but then sort of dropped it because I was sort of discouraged from trying to get 100% because I couldn't at the time. But I like the game mostly. I think the whole point of expanding levels and choosing what moves you can buy is kind of, there's no point to it really, because with the moves and that, whenever I found the snake guy, I just bought all the moves I could straight away. It wasn't sort of like a choice, mm-hmm. like weighing up, oh, should I get this one instead of this one for now? Or I just bought like every single move straight away. And then later on in the game, I realized I could just like skip forward to the next levels, go find the snake and get those moves, and then just come back to the level I'm on, and it's like 100% it straight away, instead of, you know, crisscrossing back and forth throughout the game. And you can kind of game the system a bit.
Yeah. You brought up Trouser, the snake guy that you can buy some of the moves from, and he's another thing that I really didn't click with in this game was the characters and the humor. Mm. I just feel like it's not as strong as, like, it was really going for the Banjo-Kazooie vibe there. I just feel like the characters and the humor just don't click as well as they did in the Banjo games. Like, I always really liked the dynamic between Bottles, the mole,
and Kazooie.
Kazooie. Yeah. Like, their back and forth that they always had whenever you found Bottles in a level. And I just don't enjoy the back and forth between, Laylee and some of the other characters as much as I did Kazooie.
I remember people pointing out that, like, the humor, like, Kazooie's sort of snarky attitude works in Banjo against Bottles and that, because they sort of push back on Kazooie, whereas Laylee does the same mm-hmm. thing in this game, but the other characters don't push back, and it just comes off as Laylee being, like, mean.
Yeah, I agree with that. Although,
and the other characters kind of just ignore.
Yeah, they sort of respond to it as much.
I don't really like that they. I should say I kind of liked at first when they started breaking the fourth wall, and then it got a little overwhelming. And I'm only in the second. I'm only in the second world. And then they started. Oh. They started like spoiling. Different areas. Like, I didn't really know that there was a casino thing, and then I think it was even before I'd gotten my first pagey in the tribal stack tower area, Laylee made a joke or whatever about there being we need to save this for the casino world coming up later, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems silly.
To me, like, the casino world theme seems like a bad idea. Just like, it was overplayed. It's like an overplayed trope from like the 90s and stuff, but like, I don't really see why they went with a casino where they could have just come up with something, you know, a bit nicer or a bit more imaginative than that. But
I'll pick a casino over like a generic like theme land, like sand, ice, water. I'll take that, because there's elements there that you can do, but it sounds like it was not implemented very well.
It's okay. Some of the challenges are okay in the casino one, except yeah, I ended up spending like a lot of hours, more hours than I should have in there trying to track down pages that didn't exist, so.
Sure. I don't care for
the whole, theme of, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I don't really care about the railroad or the on rail, what do you call that?
Minecart levels.
Yeah, the minecart parts. Those feel really weird to do, and I feel...
They've apparently fixed them up since, I found them pretty bad originally,
in the PS4 version, they were awful. They're a little bit better in the Switch version.
Oh, I've not liked them, and I'm playing the Switch version for the first time, so...
Well, you would have hated...
Bummer.
You would have hated the PS4.
Yeah. I mean, they're doable, but you've got to really sort of do them, a fair few times to get the timing and everything down, because for some reason, they decided to make it possible to change your acceleration on the minecart stuff. So everything, all the timing and that can vary depending on when you decide to speed up or slow down. And it just makes it so much more difficult to get through them.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like when I jump and I land, my minecart just rockets forward into the next obstacle. And I'm like, I didn't press any button to make it accelerate. Why is it doing this? I think it might be having pressing on the controller stick. I think maybe that pulls back or pushes forward on the accelerator. But even then, it still feels fairly inconsistent. So it's going to take a little more practice.
Yeah, the one of the biggest issues I had with the game was some of Rextro's challenges, the little, arcade dinosaur thing.
Yeah.
Some of those were just bad.
I've only done the top-down racing one. That was okay.
Yeah.
That one seems to have been fixed, though, because I played it post-patch on the PS4 recently, and I tried that mini-game, and the steering seems to be a lot easier than it was. It used to be heaps harder.
I'm not going to lie. I avoided it when I was doing the review of the Switch version. I did not 100% the Switch version, just because there's some challenges that I got to, and I just remembered them from the PS4 version, and I was like, yeah, no thanks.
I usually do like to go for 100% when it comes to 3D platformers, because it's kind of a game that I'm really, really attracted to. And I don't know, I found that everything about Yooka-Laylee, I've liked the jokes, I've liked the world design, at least not maybe the gameplay's layout, but at least the visual aesthetic and everything that the game has going for it in that department, I have really enjoyed, and I've kind of been rooting for it, because I really like the design of even just Yooka-Laylee themselves, the characters.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to hold down on a game, because that's something I'm so interested in, and then when I actually play it, it's a bit of a different story, and it's not bad. I would put it in the good category. It's not something that I'm oh yeah, let's play Yooka-Laylee right now. That's what I'm craving. Because there are other things I would definitely put before it. But it's not something I just want to pass up on either, because I think that there's a lot of effort to be appreciated that has gone into it. I don't know.
I really did want to keep coming back to it when I was playing it on PS4. I think it has to just be in the right time. I was in the right sort of mood, and I really liked it until I sort of ran out of steam on it. But there's some cool ideas. I mean, the expanded part in the second world is pretty interesting. It's a isometric sort of exploratory castle sort of thing you got to do. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. It was different than anything else in the game. So it kind of reminded me of something that maybe would be in the Mario 3D games.
Hmm.
I don't know why though, but I just felt like it belonged kind of in there. But I will say, if you're going to 100% this game, there's one particular item that I have no idea how you would find without a guide.
Oh really?
What were they called? The ancient artifacts or something like that. There's five.
Oh wait, the one pirate treasure stuff.
Yeah,
secret skull things. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's the one in the second world. But I could not find it for the life of me. I had to go online and find a
Where
guy
was it? I don't
to tell me
that.
How to get. Isn't that like cave? That really dark cave.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
You had to fly up in like this really weird position,
yeah.
And it was like hanging on this little alcove thing.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh, like
if you collect-
even when I had the. Even when I found the guide, it still took me, like, 3 or 4 tries to, like, figure out if I was in the correct spot. It was ridiculous.
What happens if you get all 5 of those things?
You get a trophy on the PlayStation version.
Oh.
I think maybe it unlocks something that you, like, a tonic or something that you can use.
Oh, yeah, it might do that, yeah.
Oh, while we're talking,
while
we're talking about the tonics, real quick, the yellow fridge looking lady, what is she?
So ugly.
I think she's supposed to be like a vending machine or something.
Yeah, her name's Vendy.
I praise all the characters. I really like Yuka and Laylee's design, but her in particular, I do not care for. I don't understand what she is.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if she was a light bulb or if she was like a beaker or if she was a fridge. She looked like, what was it, Rosie O'Donnell, but in cartoon form. I don't know. It's something weird going on there.
She's hideous.
But you get used to that character, too, because, like, I think that the whole point of the tonic thing is that it's going to show up in other Playtonic games. So.
Cool. Oh, cool.
Oh, no.
I didn't think about that. All right, cool.
So, yeah.
Oh, no. Bummer.
Great.
But I don't know. I 100%ed it just because, like, I felt like I should because I 100%ed the other Banjo games.
Mm.
But I don't really recommend it. There are several challenges.
They're infuriating.
They're just maddening. Like, they're bad.
Did they fix the slide that's near the top of the hub world? In the Switch version, or did you not try doing it? Didn't that little
which slide?
It's like a
there's several slides.
It's on one of the hub world pages, I think, and it's up near the space level and towards the final boss area, and there's like electrified fences and like. I can't really explain it. It's like you sort of go down and you got to sort of get down the slide in like under 30 seconds or something.
Oh, yeah.
And like the timing on it was so close on the PS4 one. You had to be like, it was basically down to frames. You had to be like almost frame perfect, it felt like.
I am not going to lie. I skipped that one on the Switch playthrough.
I mean,
because that was one.
Yeah. I eventually did it on PS4.
I said enough swear words during the PlayStation 4 playthrough of that part.
Yeah, so. I couldn't believe that one because, like, surely someone play tested this and was like, "Okay, this is a bit the timing on this is a bit tight. Maybe we should like make it like a little bit easier. Like, it can still be challenging, but you had to be perfect."
Yeah, the game feels a little bit rushed. Like it didn't really make it through that last round of playtesting, or at least the PlayStation 4 version. I will say there are quite a few issues that are fixed in the Switch version. Even though I skipped over some things that frustrated me from the PS4 version, but I will say I feel like the game runs smoother now. There were several like frame rate issues in certain parts of the PS4 version that I'm sure have been fixed by now in that version as well. But, you know, having that fixed, like, from the get-go on the Switch version is really nice. They're just some nice little quality of life improvements from the original version that have made its way to the Switch version.
And I guess putting it in perspective a little bit too, like, most of the development of Yooka-Laylee was done by, like, a very small team as well. And to get a game like this sort of out within 2 years is still pretty impressive. I mean, the level of quality is there, like from the modeling of the characters and the worlds, like the way they look and all that, looks, you know, pretty good, really.
Yeah, I kind of want to see what this team could do maybe with a sequel, using the feedback that they got from this one.
Yeah, because their company's grown quite a bit now, so they're going to have a lot of a lot more resources in place to when they start the new game or whatever. I kind of hope the next one isn't a ukulele sequel. I hope they go and just do something new before that. But
yeah, I've seen a lot of people say they'd like to see them try a kart racer like Diddy Kong Racing.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Diddy Kong Racing, but at the same time, I don't know. They can't just lean on what they did in the past.
I don't think that worked out as well. Mm. Yeah, I don't think leaning so heavily on nostalgia worked out as well as they hoped it would with ukulele, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do next. I'm just saying, like, if they ever do a sequel to ukulele, that I'd be interested in seeing what that looks like, given the feedback.
I think it would be a lot better, and I think much like how they took notes from Mario 64, I think they would be looking at what Odyssey did and adapting that.
Yeah, could be. How do you guys feel about the music in this one?
Yeah, it's okay.
I've enjoyed it. Yeah. I have not quite cared for the sound effects. I think that they kind of get overbearing sometimes, and not quite the speech thing. They have like a short speech mode where like when a character talks, they'll only do like the little mumbles for like 2 or 3 seconds, and then it's dead, it's quiet. But sometimes the effects that the world around you makes, I find to be kind of obnoxious and annoying to listen to over and over again. Like the supersonic sound that Laylee makes, or like, all right, I know what that sounds like, and it doesn't sound good once. So, but that said, though, I will compliment that the HD Rumble is kind of cool with that particular move.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, I didn't really talk about that a whole lot, but the HD Rumble actually is pretty cool in this game.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
I really like HD Rumble.
It feels like it's going through the controller. It's neat.
Yeah. I don't say that a whole lot about Switch games, because most of the time I feel like the HD Rumble is just kind of forgettable.
Yeah.
But in this one, yeah, I actually am kind of impressed with it. So.
Yeah, this one and Stick It to the Man both have impressed me with their HD Rumble. They're very neat with their effects.
As far as the soundtrack goes, I was like super stoked that they brought back Kirk Hope and Wise for it.
Yeah.
But it ended up kind of just being a little underwhelming. Like, it's not bad, but given the names attached, I was kind of disappointed. I mean,
Wise's stuff is relegated to the minigames stuff. Kirk Hope did the main themes for the worlds and stuff. And like, it's not bad. I don't mind the music. But at the same time, I think modern Kirk Hope isn't as good as old Kirk Hope. He seems to sort of like rely more on like a more filmic feel type score instead of the very melodic tunes like from Banjo-Kazooie. Like, I don't know. It's more like the little. They're more like jingles than songs in the original game.
Yeah,
it does seem to be a bit more orchestral. Yeah. I liked the Rabbids soundtrack and Snake Pass's soundtrack, which were Wise and Kirk Hope as well. But I think that they were each individual on those. I liked both those better than this one. And I haven't heard all the music yet, but so far, I don't know. And I think I mentioned it to you this before I even came on, I never really played the Banjo games. I just didn't have them, and whenever people talked about them, I looked them up. They looked hideous to me, which I'm sure
bad.
They don't. They're not. At the time, I was a little younger, and I was like, why would anyone want to play this? This does not look like fun. And I went ahead and I played most of the first Banjo game this year, and I really liked it. It was very fun.
Did you play it on the 360?
No, I bought it an N64 over the summer, and I got a cartridge. So I went authentic. It was definitely dated, I could tell, but like I didn't really judge it on that. I really just wanted to enjoy it for what it was, because I knew Yooka-Laylee was coming, and I wanted to see like how they would compare. I didn't end up beating it because I ran out of time and I had to go back to college, but I really liked it. So having not played that as a kid, not having much nostalgia for it, it was kind of an interesting experience to come to play Yooka-Laylee. That said, though, I am a veteran Mario fan, and I have gone through 64, Sunshine, Galaxies, all the 3D games, and now Odyssey.
Yeah.
And those all have their own elements of collections, and so it was neat to be able to balance and compare where the three different series kind of land on the scale. And always a Mario fan forever, but I've kind of felt like growing up I was only playing those games, and now being older I want to diversify a little bit, or a lot actually, and so I definitely took that time to try Banjo, and I really did like it, and understood why people have followed it for so long and why there was so much hype for Yooka-Laylee, and why while it is a good game, it was a bit of a letdown in some regards.
Banjo-Kazooie is actually my favorite Nintendo 64 game. It might, I think Mario Odyssey finally topped it.
Oh yeah.
But until Mario Odyssey came out, it was my favorite 3D platformer of all time as well.
Okay.
I was like super hyped when they announced the Yooka-Laylee Kickstarter, but I didn't have the money to fund it at the time because I was getting ready to go back to college to get my master's degree.
Yeah.
So I was dirt poor, but I was super excited. I followed it, and I was a little disappointed with Yooka-Laylee. I didn't feel like it lived up to the hype of its Kickstarter announcement, but it's a talented team. I'd like to see what they can do with more resources, and maybe in a few years try their hand at a sequel.
Yeah.
Mario Odyssey feels like the Banjo-Kazooie sequel I always wanted. So
there needs to be like there is like a Diddy Kong outfit. So I mean, you could say that could be your
yeah. Well, I just think a lot of the like quality of life improvements that Banjo-Kazooie made over Mario 64 finally found their way into a Mario platformer in Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
So. Like not taking you out of the level whenever you find a movie.
Yeah, that's very cool. It's very hard actually now to go back to the older Mario games, even the ones that we've cherished for so long up until this past October. And now, and we still do, but now you play them now post Odyssey and you're like, wow, it's a little jarring to have to run back, jump in the painting, get all the way back to where you were.
I wouldn't mind them going back to that mission-based 3D Mario structure, but maybe like mix it up a little bit more and make each one, the level change is like fairly wildly instead of like a tiny bit.
Right.
So that might be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Sunshine had that potential, but it never really capitalized on it. There are, I want to say, two or three that you can get break the sequence, particularly that very first one in Bianco Hills. But for the most part, they are very adamant that you stick to the path. And it's interesting in that regards. But at the same time, in a weird way, Odyssey is also very linear because you can't really skip the kingdoms. You have to go down that set path that they have laid out. You can get to pick the moons that you want in any order. In fact, I found that you could actually skip the Sand Kingdom entirely. You don't even have to do the Brutals and the big Buddha-like boss that's hiding underneath the desert. You can just get enough of those moons and move on. But that's neat. I don't want to turn this into an Odyssey discussion. If you don't want, this is by Yooka-Laylee, but it's interesting how they changed that.
Yeah. But yeah, Yooka-Laylee still isn't a like fully completed game. Like this, apparently they're meant to be adding the orchestral music to the game. Like all the music in the game at the moment is like, I guess, technically placeholder music still.
Really?
They're meant to be recording it with an orchestra, and for some reason they still haven't put that into the game. So, I don't understand what the hold up is on that, because I thought a while ago that they said that it was all recorded. So I'm not sure. Maybe I'm just mistaken, but I'm sure that there was meant to be like orchestral music added into the game, and like they haven't even done like the 64-bit Tonic, which is I guess meant to make the game look more like a N64 game somehow.
Ah, okay.
I'm very curious to see what that actually is meant to look like, because obviously they're not going to remodel the whole game. Like,
right?
I don't understand how it's going to change the look of it, but.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's like only certain characters.
Yeah.
Like Yuko,
like maybe like Yuko and Laylee get swapped to like low poly models.
Right, they did that with Snake Pass as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a thing.
Yeah, I'm wondering, and this is spoilers for Super Mario Odyssey, but I feel like it's been out long enough that most people know.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it's going to be like the 64 outfit.
Yeah.
In Mario Odyssey.
Because before when they were talking about the 64-bit Tonic, I assumed that it was meant to make the game world look more like the whole image look a bit old. But maybe it is just going to be like Yuko and Laylee. But then again, why wouldn't they have implemented that yet? So
right. I'll say that the worlds themselves that I have played so far feel like N64 worlds, but just a lot bigger and longer. Like, I found there were so many places in the tribal stack towers that I just got stuck in. Like, I would fall off the edge and I would survive because I would land on the rock platform, but there's no way to get off of that, so I'd have to end up just jumping off and killing myself. And that was... And then it just starts you over right back at the very beginning of the level, and you have to go all the way back to the top of the tower, wherever you were. So that was a little frustrating. But maybe they would look more approachable if they were in older art style. I don't know. That's interesting.
And, yeah, there's meant to be DLC being made for the game, too.
More of those retro games.
More retro games.
Yeah.
They just turn it into, like, a Mario Party game. It's Rextro's party game.
I love his name and design, though. Rextro. That's such a great... pun. They have been very creative from what I've seen.
Yeah, his full name is Rextro64us.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that sort of wraps up Yooka-Laylee. I don't think there's too much more to really comment on. Like, the game's pretty good. I mean, you generally have fun if you liked Banjo-Kazooie, but it is still a little rough around the edges, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, ultimately it does feel like it is straight up a Banjo-Kazooie game made now. It's just the gameplay was not quite as looked at, maybe with the work as the nostalgia elements were. I think they've nailed everything Banjo-Kazooie had, maybe in its memory, as far as like the dialogue, having the capital B guy kind of taunt you wherever you were in the hub, and all the interactions with the characters, the transformations, all the power-ups. But again, so far the gameplay to me has been just kind of a slog. You know, I don't enjoy jumping around or spinning my tail all the time and having to, I don't know what it is.
It's bad in a platformer if you don't enjoy jumping around.
I know. And I'm probably one of the biggest platforming fans, so I'll definitely have to update myself when I finish the game. But so far right now, I'm just kind of like, I like seeing everything. I like everything that's designed, and that might just be my more artistic eye, being an animation student. But the gameplay itself has just kind of been all right. Let's just move on. And at the same time, I almost wish I'd played this before I had played Odyssey, because I feel like I have mastered the controls of that so well. And it's just like I want to be able to do that. What I can as Mario right now, because that is so fine tuned and it's limited.
Yeah. I wonder, man. I'm really glad I played it before Odyssey.
Yeah,
because I think
me too.
If I hadn't, I think I would have got to like the third level and just been like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, and that's why I've kind of been a little slow at playing it. Is I'm only on the second world, and it came out a week ago, maybe. I can also say the same kind of opinion, definitely not the same entire discussion, but I wish I would have played Skyrim for the first time before I played Breath of the Wild, because I want to be able to climb everything, and I don't like having to do the infamous Skyrim glitch where you just kind of keep jumping up mountains. That's silly, it's not quite
the same. I felt that way. I felt like I played Horizon Zero Dawn over the summer after I had finished Breath of the Wild, and I felt like Breath of the Wild kind of ruined Horizon a little bit, because it's that way too. I'd see certain hills or mountains or cliffs or whatever, and I'd be like, all right, I want to climb over that, but the game was like, you know, your objective's on the other side, and you have to walk around. Or sometimes there were these certain points where you could climb, but it was only like certain spots.
Yeah,
you couldn't just walk up to the mountainside and climb over it. And so, like for me, it was just like, man, like I need every open world game to just let me climb stuff and have a paraglider.
Mm. And I think that showcases Nintendo's like. Probably one of their biggest strengths is just in their game design for the gameplay itself, rather than the world and the narrative and all those objectives. I think that they really do focus on how to make this game fun to play for anyone, and whether it be jumping around or climbing up a mountain, you can make those comparisons, and it's interesting to see where both those sides fall.
All right, I think we'll leave it there. Thanks again, guys, for chatting about Yooka-Laylee.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so if anyone wants to comment, they can send us an email, connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, or you could talk to us on Twitter, which is @connectivitynwr, or just the talk back to this episode. So that's it, and thanks for listening, and until next time, bye everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for having me.